It is Wednesday, January 21st, 2026. On the show today, we have the Scottish Rite Theater and their show, Mrs. Nelson is Missing, and they are our only guests. But of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Korea, and other countries. Stick with us. Masquerade, I want to see parade at ground floor.
Masquerade, Masquerade. Missed it.
I did, I missed it. Darn, I was hoping to catch it.
It was really good, you should have seen it.
I wish I had, thank you. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Yeah.
Not marvelous?
No.
How do you like this weather? It's chilly.
I don't like the cold.
Oh, really?
No.
I'm surprised. You've lived in the cold.
Well, do I live there now?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like the cold.
Four-letter word. Shouldn't be allowed to be said on air.
Four-letter word.
Just like snow. Another four-letter word.
Snow. That you know what that does? Makes us want to sing.
Yeah.
Snow.
Oh. Snow.
Yeah. You missed that this year. We had White Christmas on the show.
I was here that day.
Never mind. You were here.
You and I sang snow.
Okay.
And they were not amused by us.
No, no. Nobody is.
Nobody ever is, but...
Nobody is.
Snow.
Hey, let's introduce the folks that are joining us today, shall
Please
we?
Please do.
We have AJ Reyes here. Hi,
Hello.
AJ.
Hello.
I'd like to say welcome back, but I just learned that you've never been on the show before.
No, first time.
I don't know how that's possible.
It's a welcome, welcome.
And then we have Kim Lee Carson.
Hello.
Carlson.
Yeah, thank you.
And Mark Carlson.
Yes, good morning.
No
good
relation. Maybe some relation.
Maybe a little bit.
we drove here together.
So I played Masquerade from The Phantom of the Opera. Anybody know why I played Masquerade?
Because of the performances of the pop-up crazy show Masquerade.
The reimagined Phantom.
Exactly.
There was an article
happening in New York. In your old spot where you used to go get stuff. Oh my
Lee's
gosh.
Lee's Art Supply.
Thank you. I was like, art supplies.
I almost said Lee's Mardi Gras. Do you remember Lee's Mardi Gras?
No. I do Lee's Art Supply, but I don't remember Lee's Mardi Gras. Where was Lee's Mardi Gras?
You might not know Lee's Mardi Gras because it was where trans people and drag queens of the day, which were not as popular as they are today, would get their supplies.
Where was it?
It was on 14th Street and 11th Avenue in a really scary... This was back when that meatpacking area was the meatpacking area.
Meatpah.
It was a very scary thing. You had to ring a doorbell to get let in, and you knew people were looking at you going there and whispering about you, you know, if you were a trans person that was closeted at the time, which I was. Anyway... Lee's Art Supply on 57th Street, which I used to go all the time. Even oftentimes, I was always in that area. Oftentimes, I would just go in there and walk around.
I love art supply stores.
Did you know? Did you go to Lee's?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I live wandering around them.
No.
No. Okay.
I feel inspired.
But never mind.
Just
we're just
going to
have our own little conversation.
Yeah, and it closed It closed pretty quick, and then all of a sudden they were in there doing renovations.
I did not realize it closed until I read this article.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden, it was like whoosh, whoosh, which, you know, in this day and age, things don't normally move that quickly, but like it moved quickly.
So Lee's Art Supply is on 57th Street between 7th and 8th on the south side of the street, and they have taken over the entire building. And it actually sounds very interesting. There was a $25 million $25 million renovation just for the building.
Isn't that bananas?
And that doesn't include the production.
No, but some of it is done outside in different spots because I love seeing all the social media posts when people are walking by in the middle of the day and they get like standing on the roof. All you can see is the guy dressed as the Phantom with his arms up, and they're walking down the street, and they're like, "What is on the roof of that building?" And it's like,
well,
part
so
of
this is very interesting. The whole thing concludes on the roof. And they had outside, and they had to coordinate with the neighborhood because it's not quiet.
Yeah.
And people live there. And so they worked really hard with the neighborhood, which I thought was a really interesting thing.
You can't see you can only see the Phantom like standing up on this thing from street level. So you're like, if you didn't know about this, I'd walk by and be like, what is that caped creep person up there on a roof for?
Right. And they have to be done by 10 p.m.
makes sense.
Yeah. Which is rather kind of early for, you know, theater going. But this is very much like Sleep No More. And indeed, it was the I'm sure here in my notes, I have the person who decided to do this was they were inspired by Sleep No More to create this. So it's the kind of thing that you watch. I'm going to assume that we've all seen Phantom. Have we all seen Phantom?
Mm-hmm. A couple of times, yes.
A couple of times. So you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
So are you a fan with a PH?
Oh, well.
That's what they call these fans, or PH with
they're
a PH.
Fans.
Not a fan.
Oh, I don't dislike it, but I'm not running to be like, I have to listen to it, but I enjoyed it.
Not my favorite, I have to say.
I mean, it was kind of special when it all came out and what was happening.
Didn't see it when it first came out.
I think that makes it special upon itself.
100%. It was groundbreaking. It was the first of the big mega musical things with a chandelier.
Yeah.
It was Phantom, then Miss Saigon.
I mean, the chandelier is the chandelier, and we all know about the chandelier.
I was so disappointed in the chandelier when I first saw it.
It was a moment at that time with theater.
Yeah, the boat is the best part. I did love the boat.
Almost as cool as everyone roller skating in Starlight Express.
Oh my God, I had to get there.
I did, just for you.
So anyway, the building is 6 floors. There are, I had somewhere in here the amount of performers that it takes to do. This was directed by, and I know I knew this before, but Diane Paulus directed this.
Correct.
Which I think is...
Is a... heavy hitter, so
very
I mean,
heavy hitter.
Not a schlub that they got to come in and do this.
So
there's rules, though.
Yeah, there are.
There are rules.
It's just like
dress code and all that.
Yeah,
you have
to be dressed to the nines, as they say. People are coming
and have a mask, but you can't wear heels. Remember
that? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, because I think it's like dangerous for their stuff they're doing. Well, and so here's you have picture to have, of like closed toed shoes.
Of the audience, and nobody's wearing heels. You could be right.
Yeah, there was a whole thing because people were like, "How can I dress nice and not wear heels? That's abominable." And I'm like, "They're moving you around. It's a safety thing, and there are many fabulous options." That
so
are
there
not
are
heels.
6 floors. They can show it to 360 people per night,
which is kind of cool with the intimacy of all that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not cheap.
No, that is not.
It is not cheap.
Are they still doing the crazy, like the ticketing was weird in the beginning when they did it?
No, I don't know. They had, oh, right. Well,
you
that
had
was,
to.
No, that was just at the very beginning. That was just at the very super beginning
yeah,
of
but you
it.
You still have to, you still, not
you had
only
to go to a secret website to
secret
sign
website
up.
Secret website to sign up and then hope you would get picked to get a ticket. So are you allowed to just buy a ticket or do you still have to sign up
and hope you get picked to get
a ticket?
I'm pretty sure you can just buy a ticket.
I'm just saying. This marketer is thinking that that's what they're still doing, especially if there's only 300 seats. 320 people?
Yeah, there's no seats.
I know, so that's why I take
there are no seats.
So 320 attending each time? That's not a lot.
No, that is not a lot. You would think that at the whatever the final capitalization was, including the $25 million for renovating the building, I don't know how they're going to recoup unless they play for years and years and years.
Well, could be that they have other things in mind, Lisa, that will be in that space at a later time.
You never know. You never know. I will tell my listening audience that Kim was nodding, which doesn't really work on the radio. So Kim agrees with me.
I completely agree with you. That's a lot of math, a lot of numbers.
That's too much math.
There has to be another reason. They wouldn't have just done that to not, like, there's something in it. No, when they wouldn't get financing for all
no,
that.
No, I know. They're
having a business plan to back it.
They're going
to
make it. So they were also talking about, also when you're talking about making these immersive shows and renovating theaters, and they talked about you know, what they did for Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet. And they also talked about Jellicle Ball, which is coming up. And they actually showed how that's going to be... how they reconfigure the theater for that, which is kind of interesting.
It is. Hunter's working on that one.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Andre DeShields is going to be
coming back.
Many people that
well, he
that
was
did
in it before.
Yes, exactly. So that looks very interesting. So that's why I played Masquerade. Let's see what else is on the list. I got a pretty big list, this one. Here's something. Oh, no, I do need to talk about this because it's also what's playing right this very second on Broadway in Austin is Six. Who's seen Six?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that. Nodding doesn't work, but yes, does.
Yes.
Yeah, did you see it? When did you see it?
When the last time I came to town, which okay. I can't remember when that was.
It was a couple years ago.
It was like three years ago.
A couple, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. It is here now.
It is again.
I went to see it last night.
And did you have fun?
I did. I mean, it is hard. I would find it.
Who would you choose? Who won your concert?
You know what? I'm going with Anne Boleyn. That's my favorite role.
That's your favorite role?
Yeah. I like Anne Boleyn. She's snarky. She plays as an influencer. She's the one that goes, "Sorry, not sorry," is the song that she sings. It's just fun. And Dylan Mulvaney is going into that role.
On Broadway.
On Broadway. Yep. And she and the production team is catching so much guff from the right-wing haters. It makes me angry.
Yeah, they went a little bananas. They had to turn off their talking.
They turned off X account.
It back on.
Yeah. Well,
they turned off comments. On everything.
Oh, I thought that they actually had to shut down their account.
No, they turned off comments on everything.
You mean Six did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because Dylan Mulvaney's going in and all the transphobes and the right-wing people are saying, you know, you're having a man play a woman's role. And it's just, and they're being hateful and mean.
Things are back on now and they put out a statement.
Yeah. And I was not a big fan of Dylan Mulvaney early on because I saw her Twitter at the beginning and she just reminded me of a certain kind of trans person back then. But I have become a fan as I've like learned about her and her road and everything. And
has a theatrical background.
And has a theatrical background. She was in Book of Mormon.
For a very long time. I think I told you that.
You may have.
Yes, I believe I was the one that told you that.
But
one.
She just, so her... Her TikTok was like blank days of girlhood. So when she started her transition, she did it on TikTok and she said, "This is day one of girlhood." And so she came on, she's not been doing it all that much, but she just did day 1483 of girlhood. And she just did a statement about going into Six and how excited she is. And, I'm happy for her. And so when I was watching Anne Boleyn last night, I was doing it in a lens of thinking of Dylan Mulvaney in that part. I think she'll do great.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's, it's cool, but it was a fun show.
It's short. It's sweet. It's like Spice Girls meets King Henry.
It's here through the weekend. And it is very easy watching. It's blissfully short. AJ, what did you think of the show?
Oh yeah, I really, really loved it.
Who's your favorite queen?
Oh gosh. Oh no. I don't want to choose.
You have to.
Okay. Oh God. Oh no. Oh, I've been put on the spot.
Catherine of Aragon.
You can't see it, listener, but I'm holding my head.
Catherine Parr.
Yes.
Catherine Parr is good. She's the last one.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
There you go. I was also trying to remember the order of them.
Yeah, I'm only familiar with the order because I just saw the show last night.
Oh. That's funny.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it.
I thought it's just a clever, fun way to.
When I saw it the first time, and I saw it the same time you did, AJ, I was disappointed because I was expecting so much more. It was one of the ones that I was really anticipating. Very much like, don't hate me, Hadestown. I was also very disappointed in Hadestown. I was so looking forward to
it. I don't understand
seeing
that one. Because it's not very good. You know what, though? It's not your type of musical, though.
Well, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know why it's anybody's type of musical, frankly, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's not your type of musical.
I will say for Six, I did have to adjust to the idea that this is, it's presented as a concert. It's a musical, but it's more of a concert.
It is. Correct. That's why I'm like, it's Spice Girls meets Henry VIII. Like, it is a pure dead-on concert. It's not this plot-heavy, thick-driven narrative.
I know one of the
show.
Things that I wanted to talk about, and I know we can't get into too much detail, but the origin story of Six And their road to where they are now is one of the more fascinating stories out there. It was written by Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss, who directed the original. And they did it in their dorm rooms.
Uh-huh. I was like very young.
Yeah, in England. It started in England. I forgot where it started, but then it ended up at the West End. But by the time it was starting to come here, they did a very deliberate, different track to Broadway. They decided to tour it first. Mm-hmm. And so they were touring it. And then right around COVID-19, it was starting getting ready to come to Broadway. So they actually were set to open. They were in previews. And they were set to open on March 20th, 2020, which was the night everything shut down. So they did not open.
The world shut down.
So they played on Broadway, but they didn't open until after COVID. And they were one of the first ones to come back. But during, I don't know if you remember this, during the shutdown, they had various attempts to do social distanced six mm-hmm. versions. And the one that comes to mind that I remember was outdoors in trucks. Mm-hmm. They had six trucks, and each queen was in a separate truck. And I don't know. There was some reason I don't think that happened. But just their story. And it's since then, they have been all over the world.
I was like, it's global now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have been all over the world. And I think it's cool. That's it. Fun. It's the end of the story. Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I think there's just, am I mixing up my shows? I may be mixing up my shows. I thought there was a Japanese version. Maybe not. I think I'm mixing up my shows.
No, I think they did do it in Japan.
Well, I know they did it in Korea.
I feel like they did it in Japan. Don't hold me to that. I feel like, it went there not long after Australia.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
And there is a group, I forgot about this, called SVN, made up of the original queens plus their understudies that goes out and performs as a group. They do concerts.
That's fun.
Yeah. And there's a documentary. Speaking of television.
Tell me about television.
Well, it's a way to watch things.
What's going to be on
Merrily We Roll Along is available for streaming now. And
Did you watch it?
Not yet, but I think I'm going to. It's not free. It's not on it's a pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
I'm interested in watching it. I saw stumbling on my TikTok. They showed a piece. They showed old friends. And I don't think I've ever seen anything from the show before.
You didn't watch Tony number?
I'm sure I did, but what impressed me this was Daniel Radcliffe.
He's so awesome. That little Daniel Radcliffe.
He may go somewhere if he works at it. Anybody see it?
I've not
seen Merrily We Roll Along.
So
clips.
I started watching it and then I stopped. I do not like the way they shot it.
Oh, why? Because of all the close-ups?
It's all close-ups.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's all close-ups. Like, there is no pan-out. And I'm like,
there's two
theater people.
There's two schools of thought to that. And I go through this.
I like that they're close-ups because normally in a pro shot, we don't get them. And I think it's great. But when you're talking about a show specifically on relationships and friends, if you can't see the big picture between two people and three people and only see close-ups. And it's a musical, so like you want to see choreography and staging, and it was driving me bananas.
Well, I'm gonna look at it. I'll report back to see if it's the same way. But I did notice that in the one clip I saw.
Yeah. Maybe that one camera went down. That's all they had to edit.
But it looks amazing. I do go through this when, you know, I just bring everything back to Ground Floor Theater. The shows that we stream, I'm actually running the little cameras, and they're all, and I am torn between making it let people see close-ups and keeping that theatrical where you can see everything that's going on. And it's
you don't always have to see everything going on, but you can't just always be focused on the one person talking or singing.
Good balance.
There you go.
The
good
point
balance.
That you have actors on stage is because of the action and reaction.
Well, I do know that.
And if you don't sometimes see the reaction, that action isn't as.
But just oomph. To Kim's point, as a theater person, I know I watched the pro shot of Hamilton a zillion times, and I wanted to see more of the chorus. And you don't get an opportunity to see a lot of the chorus because it's always on the main characters. Mm. But
it's pulled out more.
True, it is. I should say at this point in the game that opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, its volunteers, underwriters, people answering the phone, washing the floors, anything. It's just me and us and our opinions.
Just us.
Don't blame co-op for what
just
I say.
Just our thoughts.
Gosh, it's so mean.
That's it.
But here's the deal. Governor Kathy Hochul of New York State is doing a good thing that I would like. Well, it will never happen for our governor, but maybe our city could do it. She has got a new plan called the Saving Performing Arts and Cultural Experiences, which is space.
Yeah.
New York space. But they're doing
a very long title.
They're doing a program to help venues stay alive, which is something that's so important for. And they're helping to create venues because it is. I don't know if y'all know it, but it is very difficult to create a venue in this city. They do not make it easy. They do everything in their power to make it difficult. So it's hard when you want to be a scrappy little theater or a scrappy music venue and you can't get it done. So, so she has, created this program and, it doesn't say how much, moolah they're going to get, but they're going to get help. But, in New York City, they lost 50 arts venues, during the pandemic.
Yeah. It's a lot.
50. And then they also before the pandemic, they had also saw a lot of theaters and music halls closed down. I will say, I mean, that seems like an awful lot, but I don't know per capita.
Honestly, I thought 50 was a small number for
considering how many
New
there
York.
Are.
Yes.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I would guess, well, not venue wise, never mind. Well, if you include music venues, Austin would be per capita probably similar. Per capita.
I don't know, because
New York
then you
is
have
slightly
to
bigger
also
than
include
us.
Music venues for New York.
Oh, well, I think that is. I think this. I think
no. That's. I think that's just the theaters.
They're just saying performing arts venues.
I don't know. So, I honestly thought it was going to be a lot more.
I don't know. So anyway, they're going to help people start venues and help established venues stay. They're actually going to help them buy. Purchasing the spaces they're renting in. So making it a more viable, because it's interesting if you know commercial lease, if I get help renting my space, but my landlord just keeps upping the rent on down the road, it doesn't help me. But if I own the space, that's a little bit different. I can control it.
Interesting.
That's it.
Because then you have to look at taxes and property taxes.
True, you do.
And you have to pay in New York State. Yep. A city tax besides a state tax and a federal tax.
Yep.
It'll be interesting how this is all going to play out. I hope there's a solution to it, but yeah.
Yep. Moving on. Something else that's controversial. Raise your hand, which works on the radio in this case. If you subscribe to the belief that you should always use the Oxford comma.
Oh, always?
Yeah. Always.
No, but I'm going to say 99%.
In a list.
Oh, in a list? Yes.
That's what the Oxford comma is for.
Yeah, I know,
only
but
used
no,
in a list.
No. Sometimes.
No, the Oxford comma is a list.
It is a list.
Bam,
but
bam,
you
bam,
can take
and
it
bam.
Out. Yes.
Anyway.
There's a 0.1% chance you don't have to, time you don't have to use
I don't
it,
think
but
so,
99.
But I'm not going to argue about
0.9.
It. So, really, no reason that the only thing that caught my.
What's this? Theater?
Is there's a show called The Oxford Comma.
Oh, okay.
And it's having an industry reading. I know nothing about it other than it's called The Oxford Comma. And I just love it.
I hope they do examples of how things change with and without the Oxford comma, yeah. because I get in arguments, you know, as a publicist, I get in arguments right and left, and people want the Oxford comma out, and like, you just change the whole context mm-hmm. of what you were saying right there.
Yeah, some people mm-hmm. don't think so, but those people mm-hmm. are wrong, as you know.
Well, it's AP standard.
I think AP standard is either or.
I think they changed it with the single when they went to the single space between sentences.
Oh God, that one kills me too. I'm a double spacer. I grew up in a certain era.
I think that's what. Well, if you have a manuscript, you can still use a double space.
True. I didn't think this was possible today, but we're running out of time. And we're running out of things to talk about. I did want to talk about this that I was meant to talk about last week and I didn't, is the show Fear of 13.
Oh, Hunter's working on that one too.
No doubt, because yes. it's Lindsay Fiorentino's new show.
Lindsay
Fiorentino, as you know, who's just represented on Broadway in Queen of Versailles, has got another show heading to Broadway starring Adrian Broda and Tessa Thompson.
Brody.
What did I say? Brodo?
Broda.
Brody. called The Fear of 13, directed by David Cromer.
Yes, they did it in the London.
They did it at the Donmar Warehouse.
Correct.
And he was... Broda was nominated for an Olivier Award.
Correct.
And or as I like to call it, an Oliver Award.
An Oliver Award. And yeah, people were like, bring this to New York. This is good.
Who here has a autograph to themselves from Laurence Olivier? Oh, just me? Okay.
Yeah, just Lisa. Wow.
it's true. Written on a Sardi's guest check.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, so they don't have the full cast yet, but it is going to be...
Well, they have Broda.
They have Broda.
come on now.
It's about an incarcerated person, an innocent incarcerated person, and they're partnering with the Innocence Project. It sounds like a fascinating play.
It is quiet, yeah. I learned a lot about when Hunter said they were working on it.
Hunter
in London.
Regan is the hunter to whom she's.
Yes, when they were working on it in London, I was like, tell me more of this. And he's like, yeah, we're working on bringing it to New York. And I'm like, this is kind of fascinating.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to move on. We're going to take a break. I will talk about the last thing I was going to talk about because it's the music we're going to play.
Oh, I was like, please tell me you're going to talk about the last thing. But then I saw the music. But we knew this was happening.
We did know it was going to happen.
Yeah. They just officially announced it's happening.
Yes.
But we knew.
Sunday in the Park with George. Who likes Sunday in the Park with George?
I don't know it.
You don't know it?
I like the music.
I know of it, but I don't know anything
about
it.
But I don't love the show, but I would totally love to see these two in
Like it, but now I like the first act. The second act, to me, should not exist.
Yes, but I think Sondheim always felt the second act was a little weird too.
I agree. So cut it. Make it a one act show.
No,
anyway.
But it's important because it's the looking back in time and the retrospective part of it.
Yeah, I say fie.
So
I say fie. Anyway, let's get to the reason why we're talking about. Why are we talking about Sunday in the Park with George?
Because Ariana Grande and Jonathan Bailey are going to be playing Dot and George on the West End,
and both of them are that were in Wicked. What did he play?
Fiero.
Fiero. Mm-hmm. Fiero!
Yeah, but he's been on the West End before.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She hasn't.
You, Lisa, I highly suggest you find some clips of him when he was in Company. He was freaking fantastic.
The latest version of Company?
In the West End.
The latest version. The gender swap version.
So good. So good. So good.
Well, speaking of that, the director of that was Marianne Elliott, who is also directing this.
Yes.
So there you go.
She knew. So good.
Yeah.
Let's do more.
Initially, when I first heard about it, I thought, God, I think Ariana Grande's too young for it, but I'm rethinking that.
Bernadette wasn't quite as young as
not
her.
Not as young.
But she was still pretty young when she did it.
Yep. Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. Dot is young.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I'm over it. I went through a whole process. Okay, so let's listen.
Some great songs from that show.
Yes.
You're like, maybe. I guess. Yeah, so you can't even call them off the top of your head.
Nope, I can't. But I will play right now Sunday in the Park with George, the song from the show, from the revival, starring Annalise Ashford. And who was the guy? Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal. Here it is. We'll be right back.
Oh, take Gyllenhaal. That was funny.
Artists are bizarre, fixed, cold. That's you, George Jarvis.
We are back. Nicole Shiro, how old do you think Co-op is? The radio station with which we are residing
right this very moment.
I
kind of sort of know that answer. So is it legal for me to say?
Of course it is.
We're in our 20s.
We're in our 30s.
Yeah, I know. We just turned over.
We're going to have our 31st birthday
bash
at Antone's Friday, January 30th. The doors open at 7 o'clock. Some of the people that are going to be performing there are Body Rock ATX.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Rosie Flores and the Talisman.
My Rosie!
Plus MC Doubleheads. And a set by Jay Robillard from the Lounge Show.
I love the Jay Robillard.
There's going to be a silent auction. You know what? One of the things that you can bid on in that silent auction?
I don't know. What?
Tickets to a ground floor theater show.
That's awesome,
I don't know how they arranged to get that, but they did it.
Listen, they got Rosie Flores, the Rockabilly Philly. I mean, Rosie's awesome.
It's taking place, I already said it, Antone's. You can get information at co-op.org.
You can say the legendary Antone's, you know.
The legendary. Or also antonesnightclub.com. Either of those places is where you can get information.
That's so exciting.
I'm going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here, which is to talk about their show at the Scottish Rite Theater. Miss Nelson is missing. Where is she?
I don't know. Gone. Where'd she go?
We have the three of the actors here from that show. We have AJ Reyes. Hi, AJ.
Hello.
We have Kim Lee Carlson.
Hello.
And we have Mark Carlson.
Hello.
You know, it's really hard to put that L in there. Can we change it to Carson?
Sure.
I would find it a little easier to talk about. Tell us about this show. Miss Nelson is missing.
Yeah, so it's based on the children's book, Miss Nelson is Missing. And in the story, the show begins with Miss Nelson not being able to control her unruly students because she's just so nice. She's too nice to tell them to do what they need to do. And enter Miss Viola Swamp, their substitute teacher, who they describe as a witch.
And her name is Viola Swamp.
Mm-hmm,
that Viola was preordained Swamp. Then.
That's kind of a cool name.
Yeah, it's like Mrs. Trunchbull.
Right.
It is like a good Mrs. Trunchbull, yeah.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
See?
Add that in. Yeah, we're gonna rework this.
Do it at rehearsal.
Rewrite.
We'll check in with Devin, Director Devin. We have two Devins on the production. So then Viola Swamp shows up, and chaos ensues, and the children decide it's time to find Miss Nelson to get their nice teacher back so they can have fun the way they used to.
And is it a spoiler to find out whether they do get their nice teacher back? I have an idea.
I'm like, is it a spoiler? If you've read the book, it's not.
It's not a spoiler. Of course they got their teacher back.
It's like, well,
I don't know the story at all, but of course they did.
I've never seen Finding Nemo. I don't know if they find Nemo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, do they not find Nemo?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I'll never know.
Really? Yeah. You never saw Finding Nemo?
No.
That was Prince's favorite movie.
Oh.
He would play it all around Paisley Park all the time.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. This might just have to be a cliffhanger so that everybody can come and see the show.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Keep swimming. So, AJ, what role are you playing in this?
So I am playing Principal Humlucker and Detective McSmog, and I'm also the stage manager.
Detective McSmog! Mm-hmm. That's another
You are name. Also the stage manager.
I am.
Okay, so you're calling cues. Are you wearing a headset out on stage?
No, we have our... at Scottish Rite, often for our productions, we have our board ops taking their own cues and the stage manager running around to the back to problem solve if anything arises.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's amazing. That's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm,
and you're also the marketing director for Scottish Rite.
I am.
Boy, when do you have time
to sleep?
I was
like, that's a lot of hats.
I don't.
that is a lot. Well, that's great. Can you tell us, choose one of the characters and tell us about them.
Detective McSmog is the reason I auditioned.
McSmog?
McSmog.
As in?
McSmog. Okay.
Like a smog outside. I just said that's another great name.
Could be McSmall, too. I could go either way.
A cute, fun story. One of the actors during tech, while we were in the middle of a run, said Detective McSmoog, and I wasn't ready for it.
McSmoog? That's kind of funny. That's actually McSmoog.
Yeah, right.
It is a very maniacal laugh. Yeah. Twist of the mustache.
Are you a bad guy?
No. Well, I guess. I mean, I may or may not be bad at my job. I think Detective McSmog tries his best, and that's all any of us can ask for.
Aww.
Really,
touche. Yeah.
So
poor Detective McSmog is misunderstood.
Yes, And it's just really his show, if you think about it. This is Detective McSmog's story. The children come to him for help. He's the one that decides he's going to find Miss Nelson for the children out of the kindness of his heart. Yeah.
After lunch.
Awesome. Mark, who are you playing?
I play an 8-year-old boy who thinks he's Elvis.
You play an 8-year-old boy. Yes. Okay. Thinks he's Elvis. Yes. Okay. There's so much there to unpack.
You know, some people would believe you could be, so.
I do need to say, for the radio audience that can't see from the webcam, you look slightly older than 8 years old.
Yeah, there's some liberties taken to age me down a little
bit. Is the show made for adults to play the kids, or are you actually playing a kid?
I'm playing a kid. Yeah, I think amazing. You can go either way though, right?
Okay.
I think you can have kids play, but my parents were very big fans of Elvis, so my name is Elvis, and I kind of play the part.
That's fun.
Can I hear you say thank you? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's fun. Are you having a lot of fun doing that?
Yes, it's been a good. Blast. Yes.
Mark, could we give him an O baby?
Oh, baby.
And you can't see, but he's doing that lip thing.
Love me tender, love me sweet.
And Kim, you're understudying everybody.
That would be me, yes.
How cool is that?
It is so amazing.
Have you understudied before?
I have understudied before.
Multiple roles?
Multiple roles, okay. Yes.
It's not easy.
No, you memorize a lot.
Yeah.
You memorize a lot. I think actually what's most fun for me is learning all the backstories and seeing all the wonderful playthings and imagination that is already happening from the actors, and to also just incorporate that. It's just tons of fun to watch and such an honor to get in there every now and then.
Well, I'm looking at the cast list, and I love you have a character named Mouse, played by Dominic Frigno. Frigno. You do have a Ferguson, Sarah Ferguson. Mm-hmm. What's Mouse? Is it a mouse?
No, well, that was up for debate for a little while. No, Mouse is a human. He does have mouse ears in the show on his little red hat. He has some mouse ears attached. And yeah, he's our lovable dope.
He was a character from
LD, as we
from
call
the
it.
Tales of the City series by Armistead Mopan.
There you go.
Yeah.
He was also very functional in getting Disney started.
Well, that's a different mouse.
Okay,
but it's still a mouse.
Well, that's amazing. Now, this is a basically a theater for young audiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What age group? Who's going to want to see it? Is it? I mean, am I going to enjoy it? As
I was about to say,
30
I sound like I'm, I would enjoy it.
I'm 35 years old. Would I like it?
Yes, I would say there's a lot of jokes for adults in this show. I mean, there's a character named Elvis. They were writing for adults. We did change a lot of that, but there are plenty of jokes for adults. But it is for it is targeted towards children around 5 years and older.
Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah.
Cool. And Kim, I forgot to ask you this: is understudy. So you're understudying all the roles. So just between you and I, who do you want to conk over the head so you can do that part?
I do have to say I am impartial to Miss Nelson, Miss Swamp Trek. Mm-hmm. That is just
so you know, so Devin should watch her back.
We've already agreed. We've already agreed.
Are there some times that they're prearranged for you to play?
There is.
Okay, good.
Which is special because of the run that they're you know, we're able to have some fun with according to the date. I will be there.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yes, Kim will be on for 3 tracks throughout the run, at least.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And a lot of times Scottish Rite will bring in, they'll have kids-only shows and then public shows. What is, are all the shows open to the public, or are you doing some are school-only?
So Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays are school performances only. Mm-hmm. Saturdays and Sundays are the public shows.
There you go. That answered my question. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a lot of fun. Now, this was... this is not an original piece. It was adapted by, help me.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember either.
Hold on. I'll look at your, I've got the.
Jeffrey.
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 Mr. All right, Hatcher. Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Hatcher.
Hatcher.
Hatcher. There we go.
Thank you.
Like Terry Hatcher.
Just like Terry Hatcher. Terry. They are, they're brother and sister.
We'll go with that.
I looked it up. It looks like fun.
Sounds fun.
It sounds fun.
Just saying.
Yep. When do y'all open?
Our first public performance is this weekend. Our first school show is this morning.
So you've had a show today.
A few hours ago,
so
we were in front
peanuts,
of 102 kids.
Boy, they say the best things. That's part of the mm-hmm. best part, I think, about as an adult when you're at children's theater or theater for young audiences. They are so uninhibited and say the best things mm-hmm. that warm your heart.
Right after Bows, we exited the stage. Did y'all hear what they were shouting yep. right after that? Yep. What did someone tell me what they said?
Best show ever.
Best show ever.
I love it.
Well, I wouldn't so think cute. Of anything. What were the age group that y'all were performing to today?
Today, I think we had kinder through first, mm-hmm. I believe. Yes.
Kinder, for my listening audience, is short for kindergarten.
Yes. No. I love it.
My audience isn't terribly smart. I'm teasing.
Lisa!
I'm teasing. I'm just talking about myself.
I had one of the kids in the front row when we had a scene that was down. He was waving at me, so I kind of waved back at him. It was really cute.
No, that's
that was
fun.
A cute moment.
That's fun. I enjoyed back in the day when I did theater for young audiences.
I loved it.
And working and chitting. Yeah,
and you would always come and see me do it.
First thing I think I saw you do was James and the Giant Peach.
At Scottish Rite.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So great. So you open tomorrow. How long do y'all play?
No, I think you saw the one before that with Valdo.
I may have. Valdo, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
March 1st, right? Can you go through?
Yes, the show runs from this Saturday, January 24th through March 1st.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
For more information, they can go to scottishrighttheater.org.
And that is theater spelled with an E-R, not R-E. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that y'all want to focus on? Is there anything we want to tell our listening audience about the show?
I mean, just that we're having so much fun on stage. That's all I can think of. It's a lot of fun.
Who's the cast member that's the most problematic?
Kim, the other Kim. Kim Stacy.
Are there two Kims?
There are two Kims.
There are two Kevins.
Kim Stacy.
Yeah. There are two Kims and two Kevins.
Yeah, and Devins. There's a character named Kimberly, so just throws everything for a loop. Yeah.
That would be hard for me as a director because I
do you
switch...
say Kim 1, Kim 2, Kim 3? Because that's where
well,
I
when I'm when I'm directing, I switch between the actor's name and the character name like at will and I've got and everybody has to know who I'm talking about. Well, that's great. I am thrilled that y'all came to see the show and I came to be on our show and I'm looking forward to seeing the show.
I agree.
Thank
maybe
you so
we
much.
Should go together.
Thank you.
We should go together like zaba daba daba zooba doo ba doo. All right, thank y'all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you
so much for having us. That was AJ Reyes, Mark Carlson, and Kim Lee Carlson of Scottish Rite Theater's production of Miss Nelson is Missing, playing January 24th through March 1st at the Scottish Rite Theater. For more information, scottishritetheater.org. And oh my God, I didn't write the song name that I was going to put on here.
What's
oh,
it
here.
From?
This is, I don't remember.
Oh, you don't
oh,
remember.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is now. It is Something Was Missing because she's missing
nice.
From Annie.
I was about to say, the only Something Is Missing I know is from Annie.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Something was missing, but dreams can come.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Bum, bum.
We're all alone in the studio now. Our guests have left us.
Are you going to tell me what happened today in theater history? Or are we not doing
we are, yeah, eventually.
Oh, okay.
We're not there yet.
Well, I don't know.
The
we're
order.
Flying by today.
Well, we're going long. But I do want to talk about some local stuff. And coming across my socials, and of course I did not write the website to look for it. But our friend Robert Ferris is writing a new book.
His writing is so awesome that I think that is awesome. Bless you.
What's it about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about Austin theater scene in the 90s.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating.
And they are getting the word out right now.
Because it was hip-hopping and happening.
It was hip-hopping and happening. And I went and looked at, in some of the social medias, they're showing Zoom meetings of some of the people. They're people that I know, like Bonnie Cullum and like Ken Webster. But there are so many people that I don't know that are before my time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't here in the 90s.
No, I know that. But I didn't a lot get of here. Those.
But like,
people created,
what's her name? The original Hyde Park Theater. I forgot her name.
I forgot her name, but I can see her face.
And
right
she
now.
Started Frontera Fest.
Yeah.
Which is going on right now, and I realized I did not put it in my now playing thing.
It is. We had them on last week.
We did,
yes,
indeed.
But it is still happening.
Yeah, I forgot her name. Cool but this beans. Is This is an exciting thing. If you want to find information about this book, I did not write the things.
Can you find it on the Facebook page?
I can find out. I will put it on the thing. But you could also look up Robert Ferris on the Facebook page, and you could do, there's information at a Kickstarter address. So if you want to go to a Kickstarter address, you can get information that way.
Cool beans.
Love Robert. Yeah, Ferris. Yeah. And I was going to try to get Robert on to talk about it today, but he's too darn busy.
Listen, Nicole, I have no time for your nonsense.
He is doing, and they're going to be on the show next week or the week after.
Next week, because we have Playhouse.
He is doing Fiddler on the Roof, which for Austin Opera.
Lisa and I love.
Yep, which we love, which I can't, I cannot wait to see.
Yeah.
And we had discussed that Nicole had done it many, I've never done a production of it in any format.
That's so crazy.
Never done it. And I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've done it a whole bunch and I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
But we've talked about there's so many moments, no matter who does it, where it's done, how it's done, that hits you and I every time.
Yep. 100%. So,
yeah, I'm excited that it's happening.
Me too.
We talk about that musical a lot.
And it's in, you know, the show is a big show. I've seen it, you know,
they did it
at Trinity Street Theater years ago. And such a small space for such a huge show.
I had to make some other moments hit different in a smaller space.
Yeah. So this is done at the Long Center. So it's a big
stage for that.
A BBS, as we like to call it.
Yes. What else is happening?
Well, let's go through the list, shall we?
Okay. Who wants to start?
I'm going to start.
Okay.
But I'm going to start with something that's not on the list.
Okay. So then I'll start with what's on the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Frontier Fest.
Oh, okay.
Which I just heard great things about this year.
They're
going on to their second week. So they are playing now through whatever 5 weeks is from now.
Correct. Well, it's 5 weeks from last week.
4 weeks from last week.
4 weeks.
5 weeks from, yeah.
Yeah.
Hyde Park Theater. More information, hydeparktheater.org.
Correct. The Stage Austin has Titus Andronicus. We had them on last week also.
We did.
That's playing now through the 25th of January.
Georgetown Palace is doing Frozen.
Let It Go.
Let It Go. We're going to Let It Go on February 1st.
Ah, different stages. A Man of the People is playing now through January 24th.
We also had them on.
We did.
The Vortex has The Wolf You Feed. Rawr.
Rawr.
It's playing through February 7th.
Yes. Broadway in Austin has Six. That's playing this week now through the 25th.
And
coming up is The Sound of Music. The Hills Are Alive, February 3rd through 8th.
We didn't talk about this when we were talking about this earlier, but are you a Sound of Music fan or not a fan?
Not.
Yeah, some people aren't. I like it.
My
like
mom loves it.
Yeah, I like it.
So it reminds me of her, and that I like.
And when they did Sound of Music Live, which I thought was awful.
Yes.
But that was
Christian Borle and
so that's
Laura
what
Benanti.
I was about to say. Those two characters, and I forgot their names, I haven't liked in most things, but they did a different take on them.
Max and Elisa, they were really good.
But they also had a different take on those characters, which
was
great.
Correct. I agree with that. Oh, that was the Carrie Underwood. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Oh, that was painful.
But when Christian Borle and
Laura Benanti
were on it, it was wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with you, Lisa.
Zach Theater has got Murder or Moida on the Orient Express.
Dun, dun, dun.
Plays through March 1st.
Starts tonight.
Starts tonight. That's why I let that on the 21st.
And Austin Playhouse has opening on January 30th. Playing through February 22nd, The Thriller, Describe the Night.
And they're going to be on the show next week.
They are.
Okay. Auditions. Exactly the same list as last week. Bottle Alley Theater's got The Poison Circus on the 26th of this month. Gilbert and Sullivan is doing Patience. Their auditions are on the 31st. Communication by Captivation's got Wild Card Peter Pan. They're auditioning February 1st. Zach Theater is auditioning for Come From Away on February 18th. And then Lake Travis Musical Theater has got Into the Woods, auditions on March 7th. And Gaslight Baker has The Trail to Oregon on the 23rd and 24th of this month.
Is the Trail to Oregon based on that video game, or is it about the real Trail to Oregon?
I don't know about the video game, but I'm guessing it's about the Trail to Oregon. Like DOS
systems and beginnings of like Atari and Pong, like old school.
Who knows? Today in theater history.
Stop happening. Lisa's gonna tell us.
Here are my birthdays. Donna Lynn Champlin. I don't know her.
Champlin or Chaplin? Champlin.
Champlin. C-H-A-M-P-L-I-N.
Oh, that's an interesting name.
Davis Gaines. And I wonder if he's related to Boyd Gaines. I don't know. Who I used to play poker with.
Mm.
Robbie Benson.
Oh, Robbie Benson.
And this is a picture of him now. I mean, I can only think of him as back in the day.
I was like, I only think of him as like a teen. Where is he? Oh my gosh.
I know.
Actually, if that's him recently, he aged well. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, true.
Robbie Benson. That's a throwback.
Remy Arbourgeois. Looking for help.
Remy Arbourgeois. I don't know. I'd have to look at the way it's written.
Openings. We had A Soldier's Play opened in 2020.
Wasn't that with the Denzel and everyone?
It was with the Denzel.
And the Jerry O'Connell. And
I love your memory.
Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting the third person that was the biggie one in there.
Okay. I got to keep going, though.
So sorry.
Present Laughter.
I love
Revival,
this Noel Coward piece.
I do, too. And it was done well here with Mark Puhey. Zach did it.
Zach did it, but I think the one you're thinking of with Mark Puhey was Austin Play. Shakespeare.
Austin Shakespeare. I don't know.
But you went because it was Jamie Goodwin and Zach. But you want to know what? They were both really good.
Yeah, I did not see the Zach one.
Yeah.
So this is a revival that opened in 2010. The Cocktail Party opened in 1950. That's a T.S. Eliot show.
Cocktail Party. What
just
an
like
interesting
cats.
Character, that T.S. Eliot.
And in 1939,
that was a cold year, Lisa.
It was.
I didn't like it.
George Kaufman and Moss Hart opened The American Way.
Boy, Kaufman and Hart, they were the thing then.
They were. and then in 1982, Little Me opened with Sid Caesar.
Ah, there was a revival of that with the Martin Short.
There was, indeed.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to play. No, we're not. 1982. We're going to play from the 1982 version of Little Me, and it's the song called...
Little Me?
Little Me. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Who would you tell my troubles to? Send a sympathetic ear. Who would you cheer me?
We are back. You're listening... to Lisa and Nicole at Offstage and On the Air.
Listening to us.
I thought we were going to have time to talk about more stuff, but we don't.
No, we don't.
We just have time to say goodbye.
We do.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have you ever done Spelling Bee?
Spelling Bee? Nope.
Yeah. Goodbye. That's a song from Spelling Bee.
Yep.
Well, this was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
Lots of stuff to talk about.
Lots of stuff.
You can see the things that we didn't talk about. At our website, offstageonair.com.
Was it a lot?
There's a lot we didn't get to. One was a show called 12 Angry Black Women.
Correct.
Which is a feminist take on 12 Angry Men.
Yes.
It looks amazing.
I was like, it's kind of smart. Yep. I'm surprised no one hasn't done that earlier.
And then there was a wonderful thing about a stage manager and producer named Cody Renard Richard, which is just a fascinating article in Playbill.
What do you think about the Sinatra on the West End news?
I was going to talk about that because, again, I don't think it should start in England.
I was like, you really put Blue Eye New York Frank in the West End to start? Make it make sense.
Yep. Don't
make
get it.
Make it sense.
So we're going to say goodbye
the
to everybody.
The boy from Hoboken, New Jersey, home of baseball.
There you go. What was I going to say? Oh, you got to stand by to talk to Tracy Schultz. He'll tell you what's new.
You know why? Because he's got a show called What's New? With Tracy Schultz.
We're going to play from a show called The Hot Mess.
Oh my gosh. It's a musical about Sheps and Shiro.
It's a musical about being bad to the environment or how to be good to the environment. And this is called The Next Big Thing. This soundtrack just came out.
Okay.
It is. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Ciao. Stand by for Tracy.
Literally, what just happened? What the hell have I done? Oh my God, that was. was stupid. Oh my God, that was fun. Why am I such a hot mess? Have I just lost the plot? Yes, kill me now, life is over. What if it's just begun? Maybe my first impression was a slight oversteer. Maybe your weak obsession isn't the worst idea. Clearly you're not a diamond.